Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of Break the Cycle with me, your host, Joshua Smith. Folks, we got a great one for you tonight. I'm very excited. I say that every night. I really do, but I am. I'm just excited. I love doing the show for you guys. I love that I have these wonderful guests that are always willing to come on and talk with me because I'm just not as smart as them. So it's nice to have people come host my show that are much, much smarter than me. But let's start off with some sponsors. Of course, we have Lorenzotti.coffee for all your delicious Italian coffee needs delivered directly to your door. Bring the taste of Italy home. Use BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. And my friend, my partner, the coolest guy you know, TopLobster.com. For all your wonderful graphic design needs, like this great In the Wars Scott Horton shirt that I'm wearing today, you can also buy that there, bright red, and make a statement everywhere you go using BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. Or you can join the Patreon, the Subscribestar, which are both / BreakTheCycleJS, or become a YouTube channel member here underneath any of my videos on the join link and get into a secret Discord server where you will get brand new Top Lobster designs up to 2 weeks early at like a 30% discount. Top Lobster's awesome. If you haven't seen his work, go to TopLobster.com and check it out. And of course, executive producers of the show, AnthemPlanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check them out today. See what they can do for your business, home, or personal life. They're doing a job that the government has historically sucked at much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, like I said, great show tonight. Great guest. Very excited. Got all that out of the way again for the 73rd time. I think this is our 73rd show. He is one of the hosts of the Slurp Gang podcast. And let me make sure he's unmuted. Sorry. And he is quite possibly one of the most feared people by neocons everywhere. He is Mr. Ace Arkist. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on again.
I know. It's great. It's weird. We got video this time, buddy.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, this is my first public, technically, appearance on video.
Yeah. I know. I jumped right in front of Mark and Lions of Liberty because I think they're releasing on Monday. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I got to do this. He said I could be the first.
Yep.
So we got the face reveal, although we've seen the pictures. We already knew you were pretty. We already knew.
Oh, no. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So what have you been up to? How's the podcast going?
Oh, it's been going great. Just, you know, arguing on Twitter as usual.
No, yeah, of course. So I don't think anybody quote tweets as much as you.
No. Yeah, I don't know why I have followers even. Like, I don't know why they put up with it. Happy they do, but I'm shocked.
We enjoy it, man. I mean,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's not like you're quote tweeting dumb shit. I mean, sure, from the other people you're quote tweeting dumb shit, but you always have a really good rebuttal, and these people just continue to go with you. I don't know when you sleep. Do you sleep?
Yeah, I do. I don't need much sleep, actually. I usually only get around like maybe 4 hours of sleep a night, and I can just go off of that. So I'm not a big sleeper.
Still pretty young, eh?
Yeah.
Give it a few years, it gets worse. I promise you.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. So what have you been up to, man? Besides the arguing on Twitter, I know you went to Childeberg. I saw pictures of you there. That looked like a blast.
I went to Childeberg. Childeberg was by far the best social event I've ever been to in my life. I can't recommend enough that people go next year. Like, if you can make out time to go, then I would just say go. It's fantastic.
Sure. It's really funny. Before the show, a bunch of people were DMing me. You got to ask Ace about this. You got to ask Ace about that. You know what my response was? Super chats, man. Hit the super chats. They're active. You can do them for as little as like $2. I always ask the super chats. Last night I had comedian Josh Denny on. He actually had a show on Food Network called Ginormous Food. And there's like, he's got like an army of trolls that chase him around on podcasts. They were really cool though, because they threw money. All the whole show, I mean, over several hundred dollars, asking questions of Josh Denny. And it was like, I have this policy while I'm still small enough to ask all the super chats during the show, because, you know, I know the time is rapidly coming for this show where I won't be able to ask them all the time. And that sucks. But it's a good problem to have. So if you guys have questions for Ace, drop super chats, man. We'll talk about them. But I want to talk about your debate. So you have a debate coming out publicly on Monday.
Yes.
It's already released on Lions of Liberty's Patreon. I went and checked it out today. It's amazing. I mean, you won.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And you know, it's funny because I came from the side of Brad Palumbo, right? Several years ago, I was, for you guys who don't understand or don't know, the debate was over whether political violence was okay or not.
In a democratic society,
right. And I came from the side that would have said no, you know, a while back. And obviously, I'm a full-blown anarchist now, and I've come to the side of, you know, I think that we're rapidly coming to a place, if we haven't already hit it, where we have been so ruled by tyranny that you can no longer say that I'm not fighting out of self-defense, right?
Right.
But what were your thoughts on the debate, man?
I think Brad was a very good sport for putting up with it, and Mark was great for hosting, as, you know, he always is. I was pretty happy with my performance overall. I think I wasn't personally too persuaded by Brad's arguments, but he wasn't persuaded by mine either. So it was like mutual, you know what I mean? But overall, I was very happy with my performance.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And so what just, you know, you gave a really good opening statement. But what can you just break down your thoughts on political violence and why you came to the conclusion that it is okay?
Yeah, sure. So political violence, you know, from a libertarian perspective, which Brad is, right? So we're starting from that foundation, from that viewpoint. It is okay in certain situations because democracy itself, like political rule itself, is violence initiated on people, right? So every time a politician passes a law, that is a threat of violence against people that the enforcers, the state enforcers, which are cops in most cases, will initiate violence on peaceful people if they do not comply with that law, right? So the state is actually the first one who initiates the violence. And from a libertarian perspective, if you believe in self-ownership, if you believe that you have a right to be free from initiated coercion, then it logically implies that you have a right to be free from these people's violent threats on you and then, you know, their direct violence on you when they go to enforce these laws.
Sure. So, I mean, is there any time in America's history that you can point to that since the founding that you think that, you know, it wasn't that we weren't being aggressed upon?
No, I mean, I'm an anarchist, so I personally believe that every single law most laws in general are political violence themselves. They're initiatory aggression, right? Now, maybe you could say laws against murder or not, right? Because those are defensive in nature. Those say that you're not allowed to, or this person's not allowed to aggress in certain situations. But that's a law that's focused, that does not apply to the state, right? The state does not apply that law to themselves. So I would say no.
Sure, absolutely. So where was Brad coming from in this debate?
So Brad believed that if you had, if you opened the door to say that political violence was okay in certain situations, then therefore the implication would be that it would be okay in all situations, which I didn't find that argument is persuasive. And I don't mean to strawman his argument. So I definitely recommend people like watch the debate and, you know, check me on that. But his argument was essentially that if we open the door to some political violence is justified, then we have to essentially concede that all political violence is justified all the time for any reason. And I disagree with that. I think if you're a libertarian, the NAP and, you know, self-ownership and, you know, the whole libertarian creed essentially binds you to it gives you a specific reason as to why political violence is justified. It's not to say that, well, it's just justified, therefore we have to let everyone commit political violence for whatever reason they want.
Sure. So you look at something like January 6th, which we've talked about on the podcast a lot. And, you know, we know probably it didn't go down the way we're told it went down regardless.
Right.
We know that, you know, a lot of the MAGA dudes are just fighting for more tyranny of their own flavor.
Sure.
But do you see something like January 6th? I mean, do you see that as a justified reaction to what's been going on in America?
Oh, yeah. Like, you can say that, you know, the people who are there did not, obviously, they weren't libertarians. They did not want, like, libertarian ends or anything, right? They didn't want to, like, abolish the state. That's all true. I can see that. But like when people talk about how terrible it was or like how awful it was, it's like that place is a den of murderers and thieves, right? Like these people kidnap people, they starve children in other countries, and then you're going to get mad about, you know, oh, they, you know, busted down a window and marched through the Capitol. Like it's just insane to me. It's like the people in that building, those congressmen, those are the real murderers. Those are the people who you should really be angry with. They start wars. They incarcerate hundreds of thousands of people in this country through their laws. And I think that any libertarian, especially talking about how terrible 1/6 is just aiding state power.
Sure. Yeah. Libertarians. Well, it's mostly it seems to be the blue pills, you know, they're like, right. 1/6, everyone needs to be locked up and thrown away. And it's like, yeah, dude, I thought you were a libertarian, man.
Right.
It doesn't make any damn sense to me. I'm one of those people, if they're going to take political prisoners, right? Like people like Ross and Julian Assange and Edward Snowden and lock them up basically to make a statement. That should tell you all you need to know about what the state is capable of, right?
Right. And
you're super familiar with Ross's case. I did my third show or second show or something was on Ross. Mm-hmm. I did a whole breakdown. Actually, in fact, I reached right out to you because I was like, I don't know if anybody knows more about it than you. Maybe you and
I would not say that. There's a lot of people who are way more versed on it than I am, but I appreciate that.
Sure, but I started going through like what court documents you can get your hands on. Yeah. I watched the documentary that the dude from Bill and Ted put out, which is an amazing documentary, by the way. If you haven't seen it, I'm sure you've seen it, but the Deep Web.
Yeah.
It's if you haven't seen it, like check out Deep Web, man. It's funny because it's narrated by Keanu Reeves and it's made by the other guy from Bill and Ted, and it's like, wow, these guys are fucking based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they definitely put like a good spin on it. They never tried to make him out to be the bad guy ever.
Yeah, it was very fair.
Right. But you see these kinds of actions from the state and people people act like there's no justification for going up against these people, man. You know what I mean? And I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like at a certain point, you have to reconcile the fact that these people are actually monsters. And I don't mean this like to be hyperbolic about it. Like these people, they starve children to death in other countries, right? Like what can you imagine a more horrible thing to do to someone? It's hard for me to imagine.
Right.
And these people do it on a regular basis with impunity.
Yep.
So to say that, you're not allowed, these people are somehow on another moral playing field or another moral level, it's to say that, well, we just have to accept subjugation and the subjugation of, all these other people who are being terrorized in other countries because of these politicians' laws.
Right. That they made up.
Yeah.
That they made up. We don't have, we don't have one of those representative governments where we get to choose what laws we have in the country, right? I mean, it's all up to Congress. And the Senate and the executive branch. And it's like, I think it was Josh Denny last night was talking about how he thinks Congress should be chosen like they choose jury duty.
Oh, like randomly?
Yeah, and then if you do a good job, you can get elected to the Senate. And I was like, oh, that'd be a pretty funny way to have our government, right? Like you're just automatically get something in the mail, like you're a congressman for this term. You're like, what the fuck?
Right.
And then you have to do it. Because the best people for the job are the ones that don't want to do it, right?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
But then you also have to factor in like them being there, how much of a corrupting influence would that be? You know what I mean? So you always have to
And how corrupt would the selection process be? I mean,
right. There's always going to be a selector, right, in that process. So you can't ever say it's completely unbiased.
Exactly. We are getting some super chats here. Marshall Forward, $5 super chat. Thank you. He said, is that Ace in the Flesh? Free Ross. Yes.
That is. And yes, free Ross, please.
Yeah. Ace. That is Ace in the Flesh. Am I the first podcast to have the face reveal?
Publicly, yes.
That's so great. That's so great. Hey, Mark, suck it. Mark Claire, suck it. I told.
Well, I was. I mean, it's not public, but I was on. Yeah.
I told Mark today. I said, listen, I'm not gonna join your Patreon right now. Okay, I have my own Patreon that I'm trying to build up, and make this a good job for my family. But when I get paid, I'll join the symbol level if you let me watch the debate early. Because I told him I'd join the symbol level, which is $5 a month for Lions Liberty, and they're a great show. I mean, and they get all kinds of shit over there. I mean, the Felony Fridays and Brian McWilliams. I mean, that's a really good. It's a good podcast network. There's no doubt.
I mean, the whole Liberty space, you could say, kind of started with like the Lions of Liberty crowd, right? It was kind of like everything else kind of like orbited it in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. Those guys are absolutely great. Drew Hancock. $10 super chat. Thank you, sir. Drew Hancock in the chat, everybody. We got the best chats. Drew says, one, Ace is even more handsome than I expected.
Oh, thank you.
Two, why is Ace an open borders person? Has he never heard of the welfare state?
Oh, I mean, I guess we could get into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a hot topic recently, especially with Dave and all them guys. So,
sure. So I think it's important. This is probably one, besides for like abortion, this is probably like one of the more hotly debated topics within libertarian circles. I should define what I mean by open borders, right? So when I say open borders, I don't mean a state enforcement in the sense that the state allows people crossing the border to violate property after they've crossed the border, right? I merely mean that the state stops imposing its laws restricting people from crossing the border. Some people will say that the Hoppe's argument, which is like the net taxpayer argument, right? The public owns essentially all the land, like legitimately owns all the land the state controls. I will agree with that to a certain extent, in the sense that if you had like a library or a school or something that was publicly owned, I would argue that the people who use it are the actual homesteaders, right? I'm less convinced of that on unused land, such as a lot of land around the border that the state controls but has never really been developed or homesteaded in any real sense. So I don't think that can be really counted as legitimate private property in the sense. If it was, I would agree with the net taxpayer argument, but I'm not convinced on that. So I think the state has no right to exclude people from stepping into unhomesteaded land, essentially. That is not an endorsement of anything after what immigrants do after they cross the border, though. And I think that's a very important distinction, right? I'm not justifying any private property trespass they would do afterwards or getting on welfare.
Sure. Yeah. And I'm, I hold a very similar view to you. I'm probably a lot different than some of these other people, though, obviously, because I believe borders are mostly bullshit. Unless, if I'm going to stay true to being an anarchist, because I am, at my heart, an anarchist, a capitalist anarchist, obviously. Then I believe that all borders should be privatized, around your own private property. It's the only place you have a say in where they are. But I do understand the net taxpayers argument as well. If you're forced to cohabitate a part of land with other people and you're paying for, the infrastructure and the schools and all this shit. And even if you don't use the schools, you're paying for the schools. Even if you don't use the infrastructure, you're paying for the infrastructure. So I can understand why it would be, an argument for people like that. But I believe that obviously the state should be abolished and we should have our own private borders. But, I know, especially within the Mises thought and Mises Institute and the Mises Caucus, I mean, there's a lot of different views when it comes to property. Not property. I think we all have about the same image of what private property should entail. It's the stuff that you own. A lot of us aren't in the public or the private versus personal property argument. Yep. I think that's bullshit. I think there is no personal property. I think it's all private property. I don't know. How do you feel about that? I know you kind of label yourself a market anarchist, which is,
I mainly agree with that. Yeah, I think the personal versus private property distinction is kind of I think it's incoherent because I think it's internally contradictory in how it's usually laid out. I think a lot of them just make assumptions that they just they create assumptions to make it so that private property is illegitimate by its own definition, which I think is kind of a weird way to go about it. So they kind of intentionally create this ravine between personal property and private property. And I think it doesn't really exist or doesn't need to exist.
Sure. Yeah. It's funny. I actually had I did a debate. I don't do a lot of debates, man. I would like to do more debates. I enjoy debating. My first ever live debate that I ever did was with Nick Sarwark in 2018 at the National Convention in front of 1,400 or 1,500 people. And I got destroyed. I mean, absolutely destroyed, but it was the debate was on the party and how the party runs and what the party should be. It wasn't about like ideology or any of that shit that I'm super well versed in. It was about a party that I had never been the chair of. He had been the chair for two terms, was trying to get, so he had more knowledge of the way the organization ran. But when it comes to like ideological debates, a lot of people think I'm stupid because of that debate. But I mean, I just debated Larkin Rose for 2.5 hours a couple months ago. Like I'm smart enough to debate, but I actually had a debate with libertarian socialist Mike. Do you know Mikester on Twitter? Do you guys know?
I'm terrible with names, so I might, but it's not ringing a bell at the moment, unfortunately.
Well, he ran for chair in 2020 against me. He didn't do very well, and in fact, he ended up not, I think, getting like 20 votes or something. But I had a debate with him a couple years ago, 3 years ago, on this, you know, property norms and stuff for libertarian socialist versus libertarian, and I just absolutely, I mean, he was halfway through the debate, he's rolling his eyes and couldn't respond, and it's like, it's not, it doesn't make any sense. Like your personal versus private property argument, like, makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense. If you, he's like, and he kept trying to come back to the, you can't have private property without the state argument, which I think is horseshit.
Right. And it's always confusing whether they're making a descriptive claim there or a prescriptive one, like a descriptive claim of reality, like that's just impossible. Or they're saying that if you own private property, you're mimicking a state, which I think is completely ridiculous. So I think both of those claims are like just absurd.
Yeah,
because like a black market is, discredits that argument that you cannot have private property without a state, because they are extra, black markets are by definition extra legal. Like they're outside of the legal framework of the state, and you see private property arise from that
all the time, constantly.
Yeah,
and a lot of drugs and guns.
Right. Yes.
Marshall Ford, thanks for the $5 super chat. First of all, Jermaine Vincent, thanks for the $20 super chat. He says, "What's up, gents? What's up, buddy?" Jermaine is a huge supporter of the show, and I appreciate him very much. You have no idea. Marshall Ford, $5 super chat. He says he's got a very serious question for you, Ace.
Okay.
So you're going to have to take some time to lay this out.
And I
think a lot of us that listen to Slurp Gang have the same question, to be honest with you. Why are you and Cotton on Slurp Gang so mean to Jay? Just why, bro?
Are you kidding me? Have you ever you must never have been in a chat with Jay. He is not a victim here. He deserves everything he gets. Not a victim at all.
His Twitter is probably one of the most base Twitters out there. And he's like legit Jewish, like, right?
Oh yeah, he is. He is legitimately Jewish.
And he's such
Jewish.
He's such a big troll. And people probably are like, oh, that guy's a white nationalist. He hates the Jews. It's like, bro, you see the rabbi in his name, right? Like he's...
Yeah, he can't hate Jews. He's a rabbi.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like Nick Ashley can't hate blacks because he's black.
Right. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Turkish or black, right? Same thing. I don't know. Anyways, we got another one from Nate Douglas, $5 super chat. He said, Ace, do you see any real evidence that the conservative right is being too or is capable of understanding the threat of the police? Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about this last time you were on the show and how red-pilled people, the right's getting on police. But yeah, do you see evidence for that?
So I do see that, actually. I'm not sure to what extent. Like, if you asked me the numbers on what percentage of conservatives are actually getting red-pilled on police, I would not know. But I definitely see a trend, just anecdotally, right? I mean, on January 6th, for example, when they were calling the cops pigs and things like that, and how they felt betrayed by the police, I think that's certainly something. Now, maybe they're not angry at the police for the same reason we are angry at the police, but I think it's certainly, if you can kind of get that anger within them, I think that they are primed for radicalization, which I think is a good thing. Now, I'm skeptical on how many of them actually are primed for radicalization on the police, but, you know, any number, a plus one is a win, in my opinion. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we can just get them to turn against the militarization of the police, in the least form, I mean, then we're doing something good, you know, because a lot of them are always gonna, you know, a lot of these conservatives respect the rule of law. I mean, that's what they're rule of law conservatives. They're not anarchists. But if we could red pill them on like not militarizing the police, or even just something as simple as like changing the justice, you know, anything that we can get them to, fight, you know, the drug war is a waste of time. I mean, just anything, justice reform, any of it, you know?
Yeah. I think a lot of people can assume that if you're a radical, you can't be a pragmatist, in the sense that you can't like wish or hope for like incremental change. But it's like you want incremental change, still works and it's still a great thing, but it's not your ideal, right? You still have that ideal in the back of your head that you're always working towards, but any step towards that is good, right?
Right. It's funny, you know, as anarchists, a lot of us, we do that really cringy thing where we're like, we want you to put, if you're not going to push the Murray Rothbard button, fuck you, right? And like, but we do have to realize how far away from the Murray Rothbard button we are. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? We're just so fucking far away that it's like, if we just sit around and argue for the next 40 years about how we need to have anarchy right. overnight, we'll never yeah. even get close to a constitutional republic or a night watchman state. I mean, we'll never even get right. there at all. You know, we'll sit around in our little ideological circle jerks arguing for the next 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, and then die.
Hi, kids. Do you like violence?
Are you sick to death of pussyfooting around the truth while being constantly fed lies by news and big tech tyrants? If so, then come join me, Dan Smotz, on The System Is Down, where we get weird, have fun, and dig into all the dangerous taboo topics like conspiracies, politics, religion, culture, current events, and everything your family just prays you don't bring up around the Thanksgiving dinner table. And I know that reality is scary to some people, so if you're easily offended, just ignore this and go back to making cat memes or whatever. But if you're ready to change the world for the better, come join me on The System Is Down at tsidpod.com or wherever you get podcasts. That's tsidpod.com, because the system is down and truth is taking over.
Yeah. You know, and yeah. hope that we left enough ideology nerds in our wake to get the job done. And so, I think incrementalism is, you know, as much as I wish that we could just have it overnight, that's what we're going to have to do. We ever want to change.
And, you know, the whole thing about, like, what strategy should we assume? It's like, I'm kind of agnostic on this. And it's like, well, I'm fine with letting 1,000 flowers bloom, right? Like, if some people want to, like, I whatever people want to do where they think that, okay, in this space, I think I can extend the bounds of liberty more, then do it, right? I think that's a great idea. Like, I don't think you should be locked down just to one strategy because, just like there's no way one person can know which strategy is going to be extremely effective. So that's why we kind of need experimentation in the process of expanding liberty.
Sure. Yep. Absolutely. Sure. That's the new drinking game on Break the Cycle, by the way. Every time I say sure, everyone takes a shot. So they like to make fun of me. Or if I mention that I live in Iowa. Or if I mention my kids, I think there's several things that
Iowa's not even a real state.
Hey, man, it's real. It's home to me. You know what I mean? And I enjoy
that's
it
all
here.
That matters.
I enjoy it here. It's nice, man. You're like an East Coast guy, right? You live on the East Coast.
I'm actually in Maine, which is also a fake state.
Right. But they have good lobster, though.
They do.
So
Very good.
If you like to eat the sea roaches, is that what they are? Is that what they call them? Roaches?
I guess they do now.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's like a whole country that calls them that or something. It's pretty funny. But they were considered like dirty, nasty, like bugs of the sea for a long time. And now, you know, in America, they're like a delicacy and we love them and eat them all the time. Yeah. But, you know, if the cicadas tasted like lobster, I'd probably eat the cicadas too.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Yeah. I mean, I come from Illinois and there's like, you know, catfish down there and those are like, some people just like are disgusted by catfish. So, you know, it's like lobster. I have no complaints.
Yeah. I actually don't. I'm one of those people that doesn't like catfish, but I don't, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not disgusted by it or anything. I just don't like the flavor. I don't like a lot of freshwater fish. All the fish that are like saltwater, like, you know, the shark and the halibut and this and the, I like sturgeon. They can be both.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then all the, you know, the hard shell. Crab, lobster, shrimp, all that stuff. But yeah, I'm weird about freshwater fish. I don't like trout or pike or any of that crap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan. Too many bones in the trout, to be honest with you.
Right.
Claire Foster's in the house.
Claire.
My favorite troll. My favorite.
Yeah.
The best. I don't know if there's a better. I think the only person that's on the same level of trolling as Claire Foster is Michael Malice.
Claire Foster and John Miles are great.
Oh, Miles is good.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Miles is great too. You know, Fat Dave did a pretty good job with his account. You know, but it's the absolute dedication to staying in character for Claire Foster is just fantastic. But they sent a super chat, $5. Where do you wish for your ashes to be spread when you die, and why is it Somalia?
Somalia and over the bodies of my enemies.
That's the one. We want to do some grave dancing. End of life. Time for grave dancing for sure, man. Craig, yes, Mike Shipley. That's Mike's last name. Do you know Mike Shipley? That's the one that goes by Mike.
Yeah, I do. Well, I don't know him too well, but I've interacted with him on Twitter, I think, a couple times. Terrible with names, so I want to say yes. I know of him for sure.
At least he's anti-war. You know, that's a good
right.
One. You know, he's one of those. He actually left the Libertarian Party. I think he's become a full-blown tankie now. It's really, really sad. Mm-hmm. It's really sad. What are some other things that you think the conservatives have gotten red-pilled out about over the last year and a half? Has he seen anything else?
Certainly the media, right? I think that's probably the biggest one, even over the cops. This idea that what they're told in the media is not just, like, the media is not just biased, or they're not just, you know, they're just bad at reporting, which is something you would see a lot of conservatives used to say in a long time. But it's like, no, they actually have an agenda and they actually hate you. Right. And I think that is probably one of the best ways we can reach out to these types of conservatives to say, yeah, these people hate you. And why would you ever want to share, you know, a political structure with them?
Yeah. The enemy of the people, as Michael Malice says. And the corporate news media is the enemy of the people. And, you know, we try to make alternative outlets like this show and other people's shows on YouTube and stuff. And then you get kicked off. You know what I mean? For not going with the approved narrative. So it's like, how do we get that media out like that? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's insane.
It's still an ongoing debate or question, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, hopefully Donald Trump will come and save us.
I do feel like, you know, what we've seen from the media in the past is they do feel like they're losing control, right? There's that meme. It's like, you know, if the situation was hopeless, their propaganda would be unnecessary.
Right.
Right. You know what I mean? So you can always take that and, you know, look at that as like a good thing.
Sure. Absolutely. Man. So we're on the precipice of mandates, man. Right.
Yeah.
And that's some scary shit. I'm lucky to live in a place that. The mandates have, from what we understood, the mandates were supposed to be illegal here. They passed legislation to make the mask mandate illegal, COVID vaccine mandates illegal. But now they're mandating it for healthcare workers in Iowa. And that's the beginning.
Right. And I mean, look at New York, right? Look what they did in New York. They mandated for like both workers and people entering businesses at all.
Yeah, it was like, it started with the entertainment industry in New York, right? That was going to be the thing. Bars, restaurants, nightclubs, shit like that. But now it's slowly becoming everything.
Mm-hmm, right? Yeah.
And we got de Blasio out here looking like the fucking bad guy from V for Vendetta, right? Like,
right.
Yeah, like giving, like, you know, these speeches like, you will not be able to participate in society if you do not take this thing. And it's like,
yeah, and that's for people who don't know, that's not really hyperbole at all. He actually said something just like that.
I mean, 100%. And when we were talking about this, a year ago, you know, everyone's like, "You're a fucking conspiracy theorist. That shit's never going to happen. We're never going to have to deal with that."
Right.
It's happening.
Yeah. I mean, like this is why you never give these people an inch. Even if you think, well, this is reasonable, right? So even if someone thought, well, you know, this is reasonable, I think COVID might be dangerous, it's reasonable. No, even if you think that, you don't ever, ever, ever let these people get away with what they're trying to do, because they will take more, right? So even if you thought the 14 days to flatten the curve, well, look what that turned into, right? You know what I mean? So it's like they do, like, it's the old allegory of, like, you know, you can't put the frog in the boiling pot of water immediately. You have to gently put them in the water and then slowly turn the water up over and over to boil them, so that by the time they're boiling, it's too late. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what they do with all their policies, but especially this. And if you do not draw a line in the sand, these people will keep going.
Oh, yeah. And it's, you know, we should have learned from the Patriot Act, right? I don't know. It's like 9/11 happened. Everybody's like, "Oh God, they can attack us here. We need to do something," you know. And they're like, "Okay, we're gonna put in a temporary policy. We're gonna have some security at airports, real quick. And this is, you know, the Patriot Act's gonna be brief, gonna go away. And here it is, 20 years later, and we're still dealing with it."
Right.
How the fuck do we slap people and wake them up, man?
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, you could say the last year has also been a pretty big black pill, because, you know, like who the people are, how far they'll go and keep going, how far they'll be pushed by, you know, the people leading them, and it's just it apparently they'll be pushed to practically no end until they snap. But so that's kind of a black belt. But then again, you can look at it as, well, at least now you know who is who. Do you know what I mean? At least you know now which people actually side with Liberty and are actually serious about it, and which people will just, at the end of the day, stick up for the state and defend them, ultimately.
Sure. But it's so scary because there's so many people willing to just forego any kind of liberty and freedom in this country.
I will say, though, almost all, like, movements, like the Revolutionary War, right, things like that, it's like all these movements that had big social changes almost never had large amounts of people supporting them. You know what I mean? It was always a very small minority. So I think it's about getting the right people to create like liberty outside the state, or create things where you can essentially neuter these people. You can essentially stop them from taking power, things like that, to make it so the state has less impact on your life in a day-to-day way. Once you do that, then you don't really need to care about the opinions of the masses, right? Because that's the ultimate goal, in my opinion, which is that, like, we might not ever be able to have a mass movement of, like, a majority of people on our side, but we can certainly do things to make them less powerful.
Sure. Yeah, that's, you know, and I think Dave Smith talks about that sometimes, where it's like, we don't need 50% of the population.
No.
Man, we need 20% or 10% or 15%, and that will be a movement. You know what I mean? It really doesn't take that much. Let's see. Jermaine Vincent, thank you for another $5 super chat. Ace, if you could delete one philosopher's works from history, who would it be? That's a good one.
Oh, God. This is, oh, man. That's a great question.
Just by the way, it'd have to be Marx for me. I mean,
I was going to say Marx, but I actually think Hegel, because Hegel preceded Marx. And if you get rid of Hegel, I don't think you even get Marx at all. So I'm going to take both out simultaneously and go with Hegel.
Yeah, Hegel might be good. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. The Hegelian. Yeah, that's actually really good. If there's one that you could get everybody to read, who would it be?
Oh, God. I could go with the normie. I say normie, but it's obviously not. I was going to say Rothbard. Honestly, okay, so if I could get everyone in the world to read them, it would probably be Rothbard, right? But if I'm talking about just for people in our circle, probably Deleuze. Deleuze is he was a French philosopher and writer, and he's one of the most underrated anarchists. He's a post-structuralist, which is pretty interesting, but he kind of varies from them just a little bit. And I would definitely recommend more people in this space who are interested in different ways of thinking, definitely look into Deleuze.
Sure. Yeah. I would probably go with Rothbard too for the normies. Yeah. Rothbard or even F.A. Hayek is a really good one. It's doesn't take it far enough, but it's
right.
The something about the road to serfdom really can change some minds. And so if we could get more people to get red pilled on just the dangers of central planning, like, that would change so much. So, but no, Rothbard. Yeah. I mean, for a new liberty, or even just the anatomy of the state, cause it's so short and people can pay attention to it. I saw you arguing. Was it you? Somebody asked you on Twitter recently and, like, name one anarchist society that's ever been successful. And you named like five. Was that you?
Yeah. Yeah. I do that quite a bit when people argue with me. I like pulling them out.
What states were those?
Okay, so you have ancient Ireland, which lasted for 2,000 years that we have, like, recorded. There's actually some evidence that lasted for 9,000, but the evidence on that is more sketchy, and I'm not willing to, like, put all my faith behind that. But I certainly don't doubt that that's possible. Then you have medieval Iceland, which was anarchist for around 400 years. You have Kospaya, which is actually pretty funny, because one of the popes, I think it was Eugene IV, was trying to sell some land to the Republic of Florence, and he messed up the line where he was selling the land to, and Kospaya was left out, and it just remained stateless for 386 years. And so that's a good one.
God, I've seen what you've done for others, and I wish you could do that for me too.
Right. So that's always a good one. I love that one. Then you have the people of Zomia in Southeast Asia, which is still going today. The population, I think there's like 200 million people that are actually stateless in the world right now. It's not a society, but it's more so a people and societies within that space that are just completely stateless.
Sure. And so how did these places become statified, man? What happened?
Well, eventually, you know, they did get taken over eventually, or they did, you know, fall. But I always say in response to this argument, it's like, yeah, well, states can be taken over, right? And also, larger states can take over smaller states. You know what I mean? Right now, that could happen. That could and does happen right now. So if you're saying that we can't have an anarchist society because it could be taken over, we need a world government, or we need a government over people, you know, to stop that from happening. It seems the logical conclusion to that argument is that we need a world government to stop nation states from doing the same thing individuals would do in an anarchist society, which is take over the little guy, right?
Right.
So I think that's the logical conclusion to that world belief.
Well, and I mean, for all intents and purposes, I mean, they don't. This is probably one of the reasons why they do it this way, is so that they don't, you know, they don't make the normies believe that we're involved in conquest and imperialism. When we when we defeat these little countries in the Middle East and then install our own democratic government, what the fuck do you think we're doing? You know what I mean?
Like, right,
we took over that country. We just put our own little puppet dictator in there and said, okay, this is what you're going to do.
For some reason, don't ever bring that up. Yeah, that's interesting, right?
Yeah, I wonder why. Because then the normies would understand that what you know the empire is doing, and they might turn against the empire.
Yeah, one would hope.
One would hope, absolutely. Andy Baker, thanks for the $10 super chat, man. You rule. He said the overreach is how we wake the normies up. We need iconic leadership. God, we need iconic leadership.
Yeah, I mean, you certainly need someone to like be like, you know, a canary in the coal mine, or you know, some type of town crier to try to wake. Because I'm not convinced you can wake a lot of people up, but certainly every person you can wake up because of that is a win.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a shitty way to go about it, but sometimes it's what it takes, man. Sometimes it will take. Oh, Bert Grimm's in the chat. Everyone, drop your pants.
Bert's awesome.
He says, "Yo, how the fuck did you manage to get David Koresh on?" Oh my god! Every time with this guy, he's hilarious, man. We'll have to have Bert back on sometime too. That was a fun show, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's great. Go give Neocon Remover a follow on Twitter. Yeah. That guy's awesome.
Yeah, and it's like I never know if he's actually on Twitter anymore or not. I'm always wondering if they've pulled him off again or not.
Right.
And at one time, I said that he got removed, and then my guest was like, "No, he's not. He's on there right now." I'm like, "What the fuck? He was removed earlier." It's just you never know.
Always come back.
Yeah, absolutely. Joshua Pearson, thanks for the $5 super chat. He said, "If you could wave a hand and banish one tax, which one would you banish?" Keep up the good work, guys.
Banish one what?
One tax.
Oh, one tax. Okay. Ooh. I mean, I think probably income tax is probably the one I would go with, although property tax is also very pernicious. So I think I'm still going to go income.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we know 100% that the state still existed without an income tax. You know, it's so funny how many normies don't know that, yeah, like, the income tax was instituted in, like, what was it, 1913 or something? It was during the World War.
I mean, well, it was first instituted by Lincoln during the war, actually, the first income tax, and that was regarded as unconstitutional when he did it.
Shocking. So, shocking. Mm-hmm. I think it's still regarded as unconstitutional. In fact, I had a Dan Berman on the show recently. Are you familiar with Dan Berman?
Yeah.
Taxationist Theft Berman?
Yep.
The dude laid it out how, like, you can basically not pay taxes. And, you know, most people are like, yeah, try that and see what happens. Like, no, he, like, laid it out, like, how you can do it. And he's, like, you know, has talked to all these people who have actually done it and has these books on it and shit. So if you haven't watched my episode with Dan Berman, definitely check that out, man, because he basically told you how to run drugs from Mexico and to not pay taxes. Like, what a great show, man.
Right. Yeah. That's the stuff they don't teach you in school.
Yeah. Well, and the guy runs, he runs insulin across the border from Mexico.
That's right. Yeah. He's a hero. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolute hero. He's given diabetics, you know, for $12 a pin, and those pins are $100 here or something like
that.
And the government can't catch him, man. He's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's like our very own, generation's Dallas Buyers Club, man.
Right. Yeah. For real.
Yeah. I talked about that on my first show with Pete Raymond, Dallas Buyers Club, and how, you know, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, he was the head of the HIV AIDS task force, that, and he was also the one that pushed AZT on all the HIV patients, and it, you know, find out later that killed thousands and thousands of people.
Yeah.
And it made us have to go, you know, basically risk our freedom to go to Mexico and traffic life-saving therapeutics back from Mexico, because the FDA and Fauci and all these people wouldn't approve these drugs that they knew helped. And now we're listening to him about a vaccine that has no testing whatsoever. So,
yeah. And you know, just on that for a second, it's like, you know, we can all, and justifiably so, we all, you know, talk about how the state is committing actual mass murder or starvation in other countries, or locking people up in cages right now as we speak, and just, you know, doing all these horrific, horrific things. But we also have to remember that how many people have they killed just because of drugs, certain drugs have been illegal, right? Like it's just the knock-on effects of that is just incredible. It's massive. It's terrible.
Sure. Well, and if, you know, just look at weed, for crying out loud. Unfortunately, I live in a place where they're still arresting people for simple possession here. You know, and I come from the West Coast, where it's like fucking 7-Elevens for weed on every street corner. Right. You walk in and be like, yo, I got anxiety. What do you guys got? And they're like, hey, we got this one for 50 and eighth. We got this one for 20 and eighth. You know what I mean? And now I live in a place where everybody's like, they can't even carry CBD oil on you. You can get arrested here, which is just fucking insane. But you know, they really don't care about your best interests. I mean, how do people still wake up every day and go, you know, the government's got my best interests at heart? I don't get it.
Yeah. It's incredible. I think to a certain extent, like, they're just not, they just don't see it directly, right? And also, they also don't face the cost for it directly. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of these people who are like, you know, oh yeah, who cares about if drugs are illegal? These are people who would not ever, you know, risk using drugs in the first place, or risk, you know, at least openly, at least, you know, selling them or anything. So they don't really experience the cost of doing something like that. So if they don't experience the cost of doing it, they're likely just to hand wave it away. It's just some, oh well, you know, who cares? Who cares about that kid who got locked up for, you know, 50 years for selling weed 3 times in a row?
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's insane how, you know, and that's, it all goes back to that same point of people want to use state power for their own morals. And that's why we shouldn't have a state, because it's immoral.
Right.
100%. Top Lobster, thanks for the $2 super chat. He said Ace should be a reoccurring monthly guest. I don't disagree. I don't.
Oh.
Yeah, but I think Slurp Gang would be pretty sad. You know, I'd be still in their Thunder, man, and they got a good thing going on over there. Plus,
shout out to Top Lobster. He's made so much great art, and he made great art for the debate that Brad and I had on Lions of Liberty. He just makes amazing art. Great dude.
The dude is just fantastic. Guys, we need you to throw us more money so he can get paid. Truly, that's what it's all about. The guy's trying to get out of the basement. You know what I mean? He's hungry. He needs something to eat. Pay this man. No, we're getting to a point now where he should be able to get a monthly paycheck from the show. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's important. And I hope that you guys are buying his clothes. I know plenty of people who've bought Top Lobster clothes, but everybody should buy him. He comes out with like new designs every 2 days. So and if you haven't seen him, he hand draws fucking everything. But his renditions of Ace have been pretty solid, man.
Oh yeah, I was very happy with him. That's awesome. Yeah, he's just great.
Have you seen his one for Eric Brakey? Who was the other one that was debating? It was Eric Brakey and God, now I'm not gonna remember who he's debating, but he made it all WWF, like Ultimate Warrior and Hulk Hogan.
Oh, I wasn't that Mark Clare?
Was it Mark Clare doing the debate?
Yeah, because Mark Clare was doing a debate. Yeah,
oh,
he was,
I didn't know.
I'm
Mark.
Pretty sure he was the other one there. Yeah.
Oh man, Mark Clare debating. I don't think I've ever seen Mark Clare in a debate. That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah.
So man, we're getting close to the end of the public stream. You know, I do a private members only stream when I'm done with the public stream. Now I know that didn't happen last time you were here. That's a new thing, cause we have enough channel supporters to justify that. But what do you got coming up, man? What do you got going on?
So the debate, which we were talking about earlier between Brad Palumbo and I, with Mark Clare hosting on Lions of Liberty, the resolution was political violence is never acceptable in democratic societies. That debate is live on their Patreon right now. So if you're a subscribed member to the Lions of Liberty Patreon, you can watch that right now. It is, for if you don't subscribe to it, it is coming out on August 9th. So this this August 9th, it's coming out publicly to release. Besides for that, you can find me on Twitter at @ace_archist. I co-host the show Slurp Gang with my buddy Condon Jay. And also, I wanted to say I made a tweet earlier that pissed some people off. I did not know what the drink Powerade was, and I publicly apologize to everyone.
That's okay. So I got like so many DMs about this Powerade thing. So many DMs, and I told everybody who messaged me on Twitter, drop it in the super chat, and not a single person dropped it in the super chat. But what happened, man? What happened? Just talk about it.
Well, I for some reason I just never had that brand, and I did not know of its existence. And I'm apparently the only person on this entire earth that did not know about that brand. And I got a lot of my friends very pissed off.
What did you post?
No, because they were insulted that I did not know about it.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it was all joking and fun, but you know, it's. I thought it was funny, but yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Gatorade's better anyways.
Yes, that's... Yeah, thank you.
Is that what made everyone mad? Because Gatorade's good, man. Powerade's kind of...
No, they were more insulted because they thought I lived under a rock.
Oh, I see.
And honestly, I don't know how I didn't know that either, because
that's the part I don't understand either.
I don't know. I just blocked it out, I guess. Maybe I had some, like, PTSD bad experience years ago, and I forever, like... blocked it out of my mind. I don't know.
But. Somebody in the family like beat the shit out of you with a Powerade bottle or something when you were a kid.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't. It doesn't make any sense. It's in like every cooler at every corner store, man.
I have no idea.
That's
no
wild,
idea.
Man.
Yeah. It's like I hopped into some universe where previously it didn't exist. Now it does. I don't know.
Yeah. That's wild, man. Yeah. You're from the timeline that has the Sinbad Genie movie.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah. Well, Ace, I appreciate you coming on, brother. Can you tell wonderful people where they can follow you, how they can support you, how they can listen to your show, all that great stuff?
Sure. So you can listen to Slurp Gang, although, you know, at your own discretion. listen to it on pretty much any podcatcher. You want Anchor, Spotify, Apple. You can also follow me on Twitter at @ace_archist, and you'll find me probably quote tweeting by the time you hop over to my timeline. So yeah,
sure, man. Well, hey, I didn't expect you to come on and do this face reveal first show and have a better camera than me. So I just gotta let you know my Haterade is a little jealous right now. But it looks great. We're glad Thank to you. Have a face to the Twitter account now. If you can just hang on like 2 minutes, we'll start the members only stream. Thanks a lot, brother.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, Ace rules. Ace rules. Go follow Ace. Why aren't you guys... Look, Ace needs to be to 10,000 followers by Sunday, okay? We need to get him there. I think he's close. I think he's like 8 or 9 something. So let's do that. It can happen. But go follow the man. Listen to Slurp Gang. He's so cool, and that podcast is hilarious. It's definitely up there with Not a Podcast, if you haven't checked that one out. Those guys are all amazing, and you should be listening. Also, if you guys want to get into the members only chats after the show, which I do after every single show, 5 nights a week, except for I didn't do Monday this week, but 5 nights a week, I do extra content for members. You can join here for $6 a month on YouTube under the join link in any of my videos, or you can join the Patreon, Subscribestar, and get the video uploaded either the next day or the day after. Sometimes it's a little bit longer, just depending. But join that stuff, help support Break the Cycle, and get yourself some cool swag. Get into a cool private Discord community with awesome, awesome people like Stefan Kinsella and Angela McArdle and, God, just so many good people. Jermaine Vincent's in there and a bunch of the executive producers for the show. So do that. And also, you know, you get the Top Lobster perks and all that great stuff. And also check out our sponsors, LorenzAudi.coffee, for all your delicious Italian coffee needs delivered directly to your door. Bring the taste of Italy home. Use BTC at checkout for a 10% discount. And of course, my friend, my partner on the show, the coolest guy you know, TopLobster.com, for all your wonderful graphic design needs, including this great Scott Horton in the Wars bright red hoodie that I'm wearing tonight. You can get a 10% discount by using BTC at checkout. Or, like I said, you can join any of the great platforms we have for extra content and get his new gear up to 2 weeks early at a 30% discount. You'll be sporting it before anyone else can even order it, which is pretty cool. And, of course, executive producer of the show, anthemplanning.com, for all your emergency and crisis planning needs. Check these people out today. See what they can do for you, your home, or your personal life and your business. God, I fucked that one up real good. Some days, man. Go check them out and see what they can do for your business, your personal life, or your home. They're doing a wonderful job that the government typically sucks at, much cheaper and much more efficiently. Guys, tomorrow on the show, I'm going to have a talk with my good friend Guy Squiggs. If you're familiar with him on Facebook or Twitter, he has a Japanese wife, and he wants to come on and talk about World War II and the atomic bomb drops. He actually works with Austin Peterson and reached out to me after the show. He's kind of going to be a competitive view in that aspect. It's going to be a good show to end the week too. Next week, I have some amazing shows lined up for you guys. You have no idea. In fact, on Tuesday, I'm going to be doing a conspiracy-only show with the great Ryan Dawson, my friend Dave Casey from Dave vs. Goliath, and also Dan Smotz from the System is Down podcast. It's going to be tremendous, and I believe we are going to stream it directly to Odyssey so we don't get kicked off YouTube. That's how gnarly it's going to be. So go follow my Odyssey account, Break the Cycle with Joshua Smith. You can find me on there. I'll see you guys tomorrow for the show with Guy Squiggs, but until then, don't forget to break the cycle.
To explain, the lyrics of my last song may seem to contain a violent call to action in the verse and the frame, but I just meant it in Minecraft. The helicopter part was in reference to GTA 5 and the things you do. So any violence you commit, I am not an excuse, because I just meant it in Minecraft. What trooper is my friend and he's constantly cold? Accusations of incitement getting totally old. Make your own choices, yeah, you have control, because I just meant it in Minecraft. Obviously, I would never advocate force, unless it's due process and a trial, of course. And if you're convicted, we will make you a corpse in Minecraft, just in Minecraft. You're nothing I mean, you know it. The product in us gets it close to COVID. Holy shit, I think I'm a poet in Minecraft, in Minecraft.